If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. And I want to read one verse of scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I want to read this verse of scripture. It's going to set it up for what we're going to be speaking on this morning. Proverbs 4, 23. If you would, let's just all read this together since it's on the screen. You ready? Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and gather in your house with your people to worship you, God. It's a privilege, Father, and we just want to thank you for that. I pray, God, that as we begin to hear from your word, that we will do exactly what this proverb tells us to do, that we will watch over our heart with all diligence, that we'll be careful, and then we'll pay close attention, God, to guard our hearts so that it might be set toward you. So, Father, speak to us today. Do in us what you desire for us. Help me, Lord, to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. For out of everyone in the house this morning, there's strict judgment on my life. And I accept that place of being a gospel preacher and rightly dividing your word of truth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you have your Bible, Deuteronomy, it's in the Old Testament. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting verse 10. And we'll also be looking in Deuteronomy chapter 30 as well. So you stay there for a while. And you'll be good. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you know anything about the biblical history of story, the Israelites found themselves in captivity in Egypt, and they were slaves. And then, obviously, many of you have heard the story of Moses, and Moses comes and rescues the people. God delivers them miraculously. He has 10 plagues that he sets to Pharaoh, and then they come to the Red Sea, and God miraculously parts the Red Sea, and they walk through dry ground, and they go through this wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. There's one generation that doesn't never enter into the promised land, but the younger generation, they do. And when they're getting ready to cross that next phase and stage of their life, God begins giving them some direction. And here's what I want to tell you. Like, if this is what you'll do, this is the blessings that's going to follow. And so when he's going to tell them that you're going to go into a promised land, and this promised land is going to be filled, it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it's going to be a great place, and it's going to be wonderful. And he describes it, and it's this perfect opportunity for his people. But he gives them some warning about that. And so what I want to do this morning is, as we look at this verse and these verses, I want to have us examine our own heart, okay? I want you to begin thinking about your own heart and how God's dealt in your life, and what he tells the people of Israel to be cautious about. I think he says that to us too. The same caution that he gives the Hebrews, he gives that to us today. And so this morning, as we listen to the text, as we listen to the Word of God, this is a very reflective message this morning. It's one that I pray that you would take internally and digest it and mull over and let God work on your very heart. Okay? So he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. He says, when you enter into this land, when you enter this great place, when you enter into the blessings of God, bless the Lord. You realize we should never cease to give thanks to God. We should never cease to praise his name. When he blesses us with the things that he gives us, when he graciously supplies us with things that we need and things that we don't even deserve, he gives us, we must never forget to praise him. Now, this morning, let's ask ourselves, how often do I praise the Lord? Am I thankful every single day, or do I take a lot of things for granted? Is my heart set to give him praise, to bless him, to honor him, to worship him? Just this morning, for instance, when you came to church, is your heart ready to worship him? Or is your heart ready to say, Lord, today is the first day of the week. I'm going to start it off right. I'm going to give you the first fruits of my week this week. I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give of my offering to you, Lord. I'm going to give of my praise to you, Lord. I'm going to give of myself to you, Lord. I'm going to bless your name today, God, for you've been so gracious to me this past week. We must never forget that. Watch what he says. Beware, verse 11, beware that you do not what? Forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. He says, beware that when you get in this fruitful place, when blessings are bountiful and plentiful, that you don't forget to obey his commands. That you don't forget to honor the civil law, the ceremonial law, which was the way to worship, the way to give your offerings, the sin offerings, the guilt offerings, the grain offerings, all of that. Don't forget the worship of God, or the moral law, how you are to live, how you are to be set apart from the world. And you are to live a holy and righteous life. Don't forget that, he says. Otherwise, verse 12, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and you've lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks, they multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become what? Proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. He brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. One thing that will hinder our growth, we're talking about growing stronger this year, right? That's our focus, growing stronger in the Lord. One thing that will hinder our growth in the Lord is a prideful heart. A prideful heart will hinder our pursuit of God. When we become prideful, we begin thinking only about who? Ourself. And we start thinking, we start looking, all this good stuff that we have, and all of this blessing that we have, and we forget that it's the very God who we love that got us here. He said, when you get into this place and you get good houses and the wealth is coming in, and man, you're just being blessed, be careful, because pride can set in and you can forget God. Your success, it can be a blessed thing, but can also cause a cursing on your life if you get prideful and you forget that it's God who gave you that. Those of us who are Christians, guess what? We can forget what it's like to have been lost. And we get so prideful that we're saved, and we look at everybody else and we think, I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe they live like that. I can't believe that they think that way. I can't believe this. And we forget that we once were lost too. And we become prideful and we become self-righteous, and then we become thinking that we're all good because of us. I'm so righteous because I'm great. No, I'm righteous because God has made me righteous. That's it. He says, be careful that pride does not creep in, and you forget God who brought you out of slavery. Listen to what he says. He says, this is talking about God, verse 15, he's the one that led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, who fed him? God did. He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do what? Good for you in the end. It's funny how sometimes in life, when we get knocked down and we're going through a rough time, and maybe we've lost a job, maybe we've a spouse has ran out on us, or a kid's rebelling on us, or something tragic's happened, we've got a doctor's report, and a lot of times it'll cause us to run to the church, which is a good place to run. And we'll call on his name and we'll say, Lord Jesus, I'm in a mess. I need help. My life's falling apart. I'm in shambles. And we'll call out to him. I mean, we'll do whatever we need to do, right? I mean, we won't miss a Sunday. We'll be here every day. We'll even come on Wednesday night. I mean, we'll pray. We'll even give our offerings. We'll start giving. We'll start reading our Bible. And we'll pray and we'll start making promises to God. Lord, if you will just intervene in my life, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll be a missionary to a third world country, God. And we cry out to him, and guess what? God intervenes. And things work out. And things become good again. And then I look out. And I don't see you. What happened? What happened? At one time, you were desperate and you were in need and you were crushed and you had no way of helping yourself. And so you called out to God. And then when he answered you and he heard you and he redeemed you and he brought you out and then he blessed you and he put you on your feet, what happens? We have a tendency as fallen, sinful humans to get prideful. And forget that it was God who brought us out of that mess. And that we forget to give him the credit for bringing us out of that mess. And instead of clinging to him always, man, there is this sinister part in us that gets prideful, boastful, and arrogant. And we push him aside. Otherwise, he says, verse 17, you may say in your heart, what? My power and the strength of what? My hand made me this wealth. You get back on your feet and you think, well, boy, I'm a pretty good guy, man. Look, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm a hard worker. Man, I'm glad I really fixed up my life. And you forget, no, it wasn't you. It was God. You're not the reason why you're where you're at. God's the reason why you're where you're at. And oh, if you don't forget, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we can become prideful and think, I'm the reason why my life is so good. I'm the reason why my houses look so good. I'm the reason why the wealth is coming. No, it's God. But you will remember, verse 18, the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. It shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Wow. See, a prideful heart is very dangerous to an individual. A prideful heart is dangerous to a family. A prideful heart is dangerous to a nation. When we forget that God is the one who brings blessing. That when we go after other gods and we begin to forget him, his hand of protection can come off. For God's desire and the way to his heart is through a humble heart. Get pride out of your life. So let me ask you this question, okay? Do you have a prideful heart? Have you allowed some pride to creep in? Have you forgotten that it's God who has blessed you with everything? Have you forgotten the days when it seemed like you were in the desert and he gave you water when you were thirsty? When the scorpions of life were around you and all of the trials were around you and all the struggles were around you and you look back and you think, man, God's the one that carried me through. Do you remember that? Don't forget that. You see, the blessing of being a Christian is that is not that I never go through a trial. The blessing of a Christian is not that I never go through a wilderness. The blessing of being a Christian is that God is with me through the wilderness, through the trials, through the scorpions, of everything that comes about me. God's with me, and he takes me all the way through. That's the joy of being a Christian. Because in this world, you will have trouble. Promised by Jesus. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. So a prideful heart will cause us not to grow stronger. There's another condition of heart that will not allow us to grow stronger either, and that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. This is when he brings the people together and he's setting them out a blessing and a curse. And he says, you know, here's the deal. God says, here's the deal. I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse, life or death. He's going to say, which one do you want to choose? Which one do you want? How will you respond? Deuteronomy 30, 15, it says, see, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. In that I command you today to what? To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may what? Bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. Now look at verse 17. But if your heart what? Turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Let's stop right there for a moment. Look at that verse. Go back to that verse. I want you to underline some phrases in here, because you need to make note of this. But if your heart, what? Turns away. Underline turns away. And will not obey, but you are drawn away. Underline drawn away. A wayward heart will not cause you to grow stronger in the Lord. A prideful heart will not allow you to grow stronger in the Lord. And a wayward heart will not let you grow stronger in the Lord. If your heart is moved away from God, if the world draws your attention off of God onto other things, you'll be distracted and you'll chase after the wrong things. How many of y'all know this to be true? Some of you have experienced this. Maybe the wayward thing, the thing that caught your eye, maybe it was need for recognition. And so your whole pursuit of life became to be noticed or to be somebody. Maybe it was drugs that turned your eye and it caught you and it caused your heart to become wayward. Maybe it was a lustful eye. Maybe it was a greedful heart. Maybe whatever it is, the world captured your eye, and for some reason, you began to focus your attention off of God and onto a false God. Doesn't that happen today? That we get up, get all caught up chasing the wrong thing. We're like, you know, those people that run on a treadmill. I don't know who would do such stuff like that. Do you, Mike? They get on a treadmill. You've seen these folks. They get on a treadmill and they will run for miles and go nowhere. And we'll get caught up in life. And we'll be like a hamster on a wheel. And we'll just go round and round and round, and we're chasing false gods. We're chasing false desires. We're chasing pleasure. We're chasing money. We're chasing fame. We're chasing whatever it might be. And it's taking us nowhere. And all the while, it's taking our focus off of Christ and onto the world. And our heart becomes so wayward, we don't even think about God anymore. We miss one Sunday. We miss two. They, oh, well, I get back in church, and then 3 weeks turns into six, and then 6 weeks turns into 2 months, and then before you know it, you're out of church for a year. And then 5 years. How many of y'all have known that to be true? That can happen. And the enemy can eat years. The locust can destroy years off of your life. And he can steal years off of your life that you could be using to serve God and honor God and loving God and worshiping God and living for him. But yet your eyes and your heart and your it's become wayward. And you've taken your focus off of him and put it on the world. Or religion and tradition. You see, Jesus spoke to some Pharisees, and he said this in Mark, I believe it's Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He says to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' They valued their own tradition and their own law over the Word of God." Do you realize that even today you can be here, sitting here, and your heart be far away from God? Your heart can be on so many different things right now. Your heart can be on so many different pursuits right now that really, if you're honest, it's not to God. It's not for him. There's other desires that's captured you greater than capturing God. And if we're not careful, a wayward heart will take us into destruction just like a prideful heart will, because it turns our focus off of Christ onto the world, to false gods. And he says, "I declare to you today, that if this happens," he says back in Deuteronomy 30, "if this happens, if you have a wayward heart and your heart's drawn away, you'll surely perish. You'll not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it." He says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you what? Life and death, and the blessing and the curse. So what? Choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, that not only your life will be blessed, but your children's will be blessed, and your children's children will be blessed." How many of y'all want to set up a good generation? How many of y'all want your kids to be blessed, and your kids' kids to be blessed, and your great-great-great-grandkids to be blessed in the Lord? To have a godly seed, a righteous seed? How many of y'all want that? Go to the next verse. How are we going to do this? Three keys. Three keys right here. Write these down. You ready? By loving the Lord your God. First key is love. Love God. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength." That means to allow him to be priority in your life. In the morning when you wake up, you recognize it's his day. "Lord, this is the day you've given me. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, whatever you want today in my life, let it be. Let my eyes be open to your working. Let my ears be open. Let my hands be ready to do your work. Let me, God, live this day for your glory. Love God with everything." Put God first place in your life. How many of us get up every day, day after day, and we never think about God? It happens a lot, doesn't it? But we intentionally give that day to God. Love the Lord your God, he says. So if the first key to keeping yourself from a prideful heart and a wayward heart is to love God. The next one is to what? By obeying his voice. Listening. Love God. Listen. 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 Listen to his voice. Through prayer, listen. When you read the Bible, listen. When you're walking, listen. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, will speak to your heart, if you'll listen? You ever get a prompting to maybe call somebody or go visit someone or to not do something? Who is that? Holy Spirit speaking to the believer. Say, this is what you need to do. Listen, you need to obey. You need to follow. You need to not go there. Don't make that call. And when you hear God's voice, don't do it, right? Don't have a prideful heart or wayward heart that says, you know what? I know I shouldn't do this, but. How many of y'all have ever done that? I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm doing it anyway. Very dangerous. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Have your ears attuned to the voice of God. But guess what? If you're not worshiping God like you should and you're not hearing from His Word, you won't hear His voice. You ever been listening to a radio station and some other interference, this other station starts competing for the airwaves? Does that ever happen? Huh? I drive, when I'm driving on a certain part of the bypass, there's a certain station I listen to that gets interference a lot. And it just makes me so mad because I'm like, it's a good point. I'm like listening, and I'm like wanting to hear what they say. And you start hearing all this other stuff. And it distracts you. And it makes you not to hear. Do you know Satan? He is the deceiver. He is the father of lies. Do you know how important it is to listen to the voice of God? It's so important because Satan is speaking lies every day. He's saying, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You'll never make it. God can't love you. You're pathetic. Your life is going nowhere. You're a loser. He speaks those words every single day. And if you're not listening to the true voice of God who says, I love you with an everlasting love. I have redeemed you. I have saved you. I have made you. You are mine and you are my child. Your life will be all out of whack if you let the interference of Satan distract you. Amen. So you gotta listen. You gotta love God, listen to His voice, and then the last one, He says what? And by holding fast to Him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to them. I want to use that last word. That word is latch, because I needed another L word, right? Love, listen, and latch. Latch on to God. Have you ever seen a little kid that's hurt or scared that runs to their mom or their dad and they just cling on to them and they won't let go? And you're like, what's going on? I mean, you can move and they'll just be hanging on you. Can I tell you, that's how we ought to do God. Man, we ought to latch on to Him. Say, God, I'm not letting you go. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going. I'm going. You going here, I'm going with you. I'm going to latch on to the Word of God, for it is my strength. It is my sword. It is my shield. It's taking me places. It's guarding me. It's protecting my heart from becoming too prideful. It's protecting my heart from becoming wayward. And I will never let you go, Lord. You can take away my stuff, but you're not taking away my relationship with you. God, the storms may come, but I know you're going to be there. I will never let go of you. I will love you, God, with all my heart. I will listen to your voice, and I will latch on to you. For my heart will be set for you. Jesus said it this way. This was his call to discipleship. In Mark, when he was talking about what it takes to be a disciple, says he summoned a crowd, and the disciples were with him. He says he summoned a crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself. Why must he deny himself? Because that kills pride out of your life. That will stop the prideful heart. Because the prideful heart is only set on me. It's self. But when I deny myself and I humble myself, I recognize that I am in much need of God more than he's in much need of me. And take up my cross, I crucify my flesh to the world that prevents a wayward heart. Because the world doesn't have the luster any longer. The world doesn't capture my eye because I'm not enticed by it, because I see how it truly looks. It looks flashy. It looks glittery. It looks like gold. But it's worthless. Because the true blessing and honor comes from God. So if anyone wants to be my disciple, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now look at this next verse. For whoever wishes to save his life will what? But whoever loses his life for my sake, this is Jesus speaking, and the Gospels will what? Save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it in this life? Is there anything that this world offers that's greater than God? No. And once you have sold your life to the world and your soul has been given over to the world, how can you buy back your soul? You can't, because Jesus bought it. Now watch. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are you ashamed to call yourself a Christian? When you walk in the workplace, are you ashamed of the Word of God? Are you ashamed to let them know that you're one of those church-going, Jesus-believing people? Or do you wear that as a badge of honor? Not in an arrogant way, not in a Bible-thumping, I'm going to beat you over the head kind of way, but as I love Jesus, and man, I'm here to, do you need to pray? How can I help you? Do I bring blessing everywhere I go because I love Christ and I'm not ashamed to let people know that? He says, if you're ashamed of me on earth, I'll be ashamed of you when I return. But if you're not ashamed of me, then I'm going to confess you before my Father in heaven. Man, don't let a prideful heart draw you away. Don't let a wayward heart get you wandering off course. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This last verse, I want you to memorize this verse. I think this is a good verse for all of us to memorize. I'm going to commit this one to memory myself because I think this sums it up. You ready? Here it goes. It's a psalm. Go to the last slide there. Psalm 27:8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall see. Isn't that what our heart needs to be saying? Let's read that together. You ready? When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. One more time. You ready? When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. This week, that's my challenge. That's the verse of challenge for you this week. To get a prideful, wayward heart out of the way And let this be what drives you this week. When you said, seek my face, my heart says, your face, oh Lord, I will seek. That we will seek him this week. And we'll grow stronger. And our heart will be toward him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you speak to us, Lord. And that you give us warnings and you tell us, Lord, to be careful, to be watchful. That you warn us about the pride that can enter our heart, that can distract us and get our focus off of you and onto ourselves. And Lord, we can forget how good you are. And we can begin thinking that we're the ones that's good. That we're the ones that's intelligent. That we're the ones that's brought us to where we're at. But Lord God, may we never forget that you are the God who has redeemed us, delivered us, set us free, and has blessed us with what we have. Humble us, God. Let not pride enter us. Father, when the world begins to speak and distract us, may our hearts not become wayward. May we never turn our eyes away from you and start following false gods, false pursuits. But Lord, when you say, seek my face, may my heart say, your face, Lord, I will seek. Let that be our heart's cry, for it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Maybe this morning you need to come and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord God, I want my heart to be made right. Maybe there's some pursuits that you've been going on that doesn't need to be there. Maybe you just need to come and give him praise. Maybe there's some great things that have happened this week that you just want to give him the blessing for, that you just want to praise his name. Whatever God's saying this morning to do during invitation, would you just not sit there, but call out to him. I know you can pray where you're at. But if you won't come here and pray, at least do the bidding there. At least do the work there. Let this time be a time where you speak to God. Let's sing, let's worship, let's respond.